Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. I want to take you into the life of Joseph and show you that whenever God start relating you and I to Joseph, there's several things that take place. There's several things that you need to be alerted of. Okay. Whenever God start referring to you as a Joseph, whenever God start talking to us as a Joseph, you know, it alerts us to several things that God is ready to do and ready to expose in your life. So today we're going to talk about a new day. A new day. This is a new day. And I believe that when we finish teaching this here, you're going to see basically what the Holy Spirit have planned for you in this 2014. You ever known anybody to get in trouble with the judicial system, you know, of our country? And what they would do, they would schedule a court day. And what generally would happen on a court day? What happens? What's the main thing that happens? All right, you plead guilty or not guilty. Before whom? The judge. So one of the main things that happens on a court day, you see the judge. You see the judge. Now, that's important where we're gonna go today, because let me just give you a little background. Before Joseph ever shows up, before the name of Joseph is ever mentioned in the scripture, we have a marriage, a union between Jacob and Rachel. And not only Rachel, but Leah also. All right. The Bible says that what is happening is that Jacob is working for his uncle Laban, and Jacob tells Laban, you know, he will work for Rachel, you know, work 7 years for her. You know, at the end of those 7 years, Laban gave him Leah, and then told him that, you know, it's our custom, you know, to give the oldest daughter before the younger. But Jacob said, well, you know, I actually work for Leah. You know, he says, well, you know, you work another 7 years and I give her to you. So he actually worked 14 years for Rachel. And not only did he get Rachel, he got Leah, and then he got their maidservants, Beulah and Zilpah. All right. Now, when Leah was given to him, Leah started having children. You know, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that when the Lord saw that Leah was loved less than Rachel, the Lord opened Leah's womb, and boom, 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 she had about 4 sons right off. You know, and but thing is, Rachel wasn't having no children, and Jacob was doing the same thing with Rachel that he was doing with Leah. But Rachel wasn't having no children. Now follow me on this here, because what I need you to see is that it is of the Lord. Now, I want this scripture to be magnified in your mind this morning. Psalms 118, verse 23. Here's a scripture I want to be magnified in your mind this morning, and turn over and over in your mind. Psalms 118, verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. Okay. Everybody say it with me. This is the Lord's doing.
This is the Lord's
doing. And what about it? It is marvelous in our eyes. All right. So you got to see this. God is doing this. God is doing this. What is God doing? God has opened the womb of Leah, and she's conceiving and having children. But the womb of Rachel, he's closed. He's shut up. No matter what they're doing, you know, and it's not that she's not fertile. And it's not that Jacob's not working. You know, God has closed the womb. Now, we see this in other instances. The Bible says that, who was it, with Hannah, you know, her husband, you know, had two wives. And the one wife was having children, but the Bible says, but the Lord had closed or shut up the womb of Hannah. And when Hannah went to the house of God and prayed and made a vow to the Lord, then the Bible says, and God opened her womb. You see? So this is not uncommon that God, you know, would do a thing like this here. So everybody said again, this is the Lord's doing.
This is the Lord's doing.
It's marvelous in our sight. So we don't, many times we don't understand the mind of God or the purpose of God or the timing of God, but we always leave it in His hand that He has a particular timing, He has a certain purpose, that at a certain time He's going to do something and He's going to turn it in our favor. You know, it happened in the life of Hannah that God turned it in her favor. All right. It happened even in the life of Rachel, which we're going to discover that God turned it in her favor. Job chapter number 42, verse 10 says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. All right. So God is in control of turning things in our favor at a certain time, at a certain season, you know, and it'll never be like it was, you know, prior to that. Okay, it's a new day. As a matter of fact, one of the Psalms says that when God turned our captivity, or when He freed us, it was as if it was like those that dream. You know, meaning that all the stuff that we've been through, all the stuff that we've gone through, when God turned our captivity, it's like a dream. Man, am I really out of this here? Is this really happening to me? You know, is this good fortune really on my family? And it's like we're dreaming and we want to soak it all up and we don't want it to stop. All right. Because it's like a dream. Well, that's the time that we're living in right now. You know, we're getting this by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. This is what we're living in right now. You know, that God's getting ready to turn something, and it's going to be a new day, you know, for us. All right, now watch. So, as we continue on with the story, Leah then had some children. She then had some sons, you know, for Jacob. And Rachel ain't had none. And Rachel goes to Rachel goes to Jacob, and she says to Jacob, you know, give me children. You know, when it's not in the hands of Jacob. Jacob said, what else can I, I'm doing everything I can do. You know, it's not in my hands. It's out of my hands. You know, so there was actually a wrestling or struggling that's going on because I'm doing everything that I know to do. And in essence, Rachel, I can hear her saying, I just want to be normal. Because what's happening in my life is not normal. I just want to be like everybody else. You know, they're doing it and it's happening for them. They're doing it and it's happening for them. But what I'm doing is just not happening. Something abnormal is happening in my life. You know, and I can't put my hand on it. I can't explain it. You know, all I want to be is normal. That's all Rachel wanted. I just want to be normal. I want to be a normal housewife. I want to have children for my husband. I want to raise my children in the fear of the Lord. But it's not happening. Now, it don't have to be with children, but, you know, I believe some of us are the same way. That we're wrestling with things that when we look at other people, you know, and compare ourselves with other people, we say, wow, this is happening in their life, and I'm doing the same thing that they're doing. What about me? You know, when is this going to turn around in my life? And that's where Rachel was. As a matter of fact, after Leah then had those children, you know, she goes to Jacob and said, give me children. Jacob said, I'm not the one, you know. And so what Rachel did, if you refer over to, look over into Genesis chapter number 30, I believe it is. Genesis chapter 30, look what she do. All right, verse number 1. Everybody say a new day. See, because sometimes out of our desperation, you know, we do some things to try to make things happen for us. So look what she do. It says, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. It can create that, because we see the blessings of God on people's life and we're doing the same thing that they're doing. And, you know, it's not happening in my life. And we start getting a little envious and a little jealous, you know, at them. And that's, I want to say, that's flesh. That's human. Okay. It's not the right thing to do, but it's human. All right. So she envied her sister and said, unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. I want children or else, you know, I want to be normal. I want to be made whole. I'm not whole. Look, watch what happens. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And Jacob got mad. Yeah. And he said, am I in God's stead? You know, only God can do this, Rachel. You know, we're doing our part. You know, it's like Paul says, I plant, Apollos water, God give the increase. You know, the thing is, that's all we can do. All we can do is water and plant. But if God don't step in to give the increase, then, you know, it's out of my hands. I mean, don't fuss with me. Don't chide with me. It's not me. It's God. Am I in God's place? That's what he's telling them. Then it says, who had withheld from thee the fruit of the womb. Jacob had a revelation here. Jacob's revelation was, God is the one that have withheld from you the fruit of the womb. It's not me. I planted the seed. God just haven't given you the increase. So it says, and she said, now she's going to go through, she's getting ready to go to extremes here, because this is what we do. Sarah did the same thing. When Sarah... All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, what's that under your arm? And the priest said, this is bread, it's holy bread. David said, I have some of that. Then the next thing David asked, do you have any weapons here? And the priest tells him, nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah. Well, David said, I would have that sword also. So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread. bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Saw that she could have children. What did she do? She did the same thing Rachel did here. It says, "And she said, Behold, my maid Beulah, go into her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." She says, "This is my maid." You know, what kind of mother do they call it? Surrogate? Is this what they call a surrogate mother? You know, my maid is going to bear children for me. Now, no matter how much your maid bear child for you, you know, it ain't nothing like you bearing one. It ain't nothing, because you done gave your husband away to somebody else, you know, to have a child, you know, for you. But it's just not yours. I mean, there's still that disconnect in there. Okay? Because when you look into the eyes of that child, you don't see your eyes. You might get a bond there, but it's not a bond as if it came from your womb. All right? So the scripture goes on to say, "And Beulah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God," what did God do? Now, I want you to compare this to where we are right now. When do the judge judge you? When do the judge judge you? When he sends you, when you go to court. Now, but before you go to court, all you have is a court day. That's all you have. That's all you have to look for is a court day. But everybody says, getting close. Because when the Bible says that Rachel says, "The Lord has judged me," it means that not only am I sitting in court, not only do I have the full attention of the judge, not only is the judge viewing my case and looking at my case right now, you know, he is about to give his sentence. See, all this time you've been in waiting. All this time, all you had was a date. All you had was an appointed time. But now what's happening in your life? The judge has given his full attention to what's going on in your life. So something about to turn, y'all. Something about to happen, because, you know, now watch this here. When the judge is viewing your case, ain't nobody else's case going on. He ain't viewing nobody else's case. You got his full attention. You got his full attention, and he's getting ready to pronounce sentence on you. And Rachel says, "God has judged me." And scripture says, "And because he's judged me, he had also heard my voice." You were able to plead your cause, you know, before the Lord. "He's heard my voice and had given me a son. Therefore, call she his name Dan." See, right now in some of your lives, Dan is going on. You can call right where you are Dan. But God going to take it a little further. All right. Right now, you know, you've got the father's, you've got the judge's full attention. And he's looking at your situation. Now, other people had got an appointment. They got a court date. But your day has come. This is your day. And on your day, you know, don't worry about nobody else's court day. This is your day. And you can actually say, Dan. And when you say Dan, everybody ought to know what you're talking about. When you say Dan, you're saying, number one, I got God's full attention. Number two, I can say what I need to say before him because his ear is open unto me and only unto me because he's looking at my situation right now. I don't care about everybody else's situation. My situation has got his full attention. Somebody shout Dan. Huh? So this is what you're saying when you say Dan. So when you hear people walk up to you and say Dan, you ought to get happy, throw your hands up because at that moment, you got God's full attention. God is viewing your case and his attention is focused on your case. Now watch this. Then it says, in verse 7, and Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again. And bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister. Now, the bottom line, with your situation, you've wrestled with that situation and wrestled with it. And nobody knows your situation but the judge of the whole earth. Nobody knows what you are. Nobody knows what you've been telling him. It's like just you and him. It's just like Hannah, you know, being in the temple. You know, I'm able to open up and tell you just how I feel. I tell you just how I am. Some of you, your situation has made you fast. Some of your situation has made you pray. As a matter of fact, Elkanah told Hannah, am I not better to you than 10 sons? You know, the thing is, but you don't understand. I have a situation here, you know, that need God's special attention. And what does she do? She go over to the house of God and she's not even opening her mouth, but because of her anguish, you know, she's talking to God and she's crying out to God so much so that the priest thinks she's drunk. And the priest rebukes her and says, you know, you need to leave that wine alone. She said, I haven't drank no wine, but it's my anguish of spirit. You know, I have a situation that's unique. And if God don't intervene, as a matter of fact, your situation will make you do something out of the ordinary. And this is what Hannah did. Hannah did something out of the ordinary. What did she do? She made a vow. Listen to Hannah's vow. God, now, this is what I want. I want to be normal. I want a son. That's what I want. Now, if you give him to me, I'm going to give him back to you. Now, that's something out of the ordinary. You know, most people say, I want a son and I'm going to enjoy this son for the rest of my life. No, Hannah said, I want this boy so bad that if you give him to him, I'm going to give him back to you. Hallelujah. Well, Rachel did something out of the ordinary also. She gave her husband another woman. Just have a son. Now, every woman knows that's out of the ordinary, right? So she did some. See, so the thing is, your situation will make you, you know, when it comes down to it, it'll make you. As a matter of fact, what does she tell Jacob? Give me a child. Give me a son or else I'm going to die. She said it's a life and death situation to me. It might not be, you know, we might say somebody else said it. Oh, they just tripping, you know, but, you know, you don't know what it is to them. To them, it's a life and death situation. But to us, you know, oh, they're just tripping, you know. And then they'll say the same thing about us. Our life and death situation, you know, to them, we just tripping. All right. So now she says, when the other child is born, with great wrestling, we realize that, man, she's been wrestling with something And it's just like us. We've been wrestling with something. We've been wrestling with that one situation. We've been wrestling with that one thing. We've been wrestling with this thing, and I don't know how long we've been wrestling with it. I got all these things straight. I got the man, you know, that's the man of my dreams. I got the man that has worked 14 years for me. I got the man who has the promises of God upon his life. I got the, you know, I should be a happy camper. But I'm wrestling with something. I'm wrestling with something because I'm not normal. I'm not made whole like others. You know, what I see others with, you know, I don't have. And the Bible says it wasn't just a wrestling, it was with great wrestling. Somebody say Naphtali. Yeah. Now, you know, whenever you call somebody Naphtali, you know somebody's wrestling. I'm with great wrestling. I'm wrestling with something, or I'm struggling with something, you know, and the thing is, in this wrestling match, I got to do like Jacob. I got to hold on until God bless me. I ain't going to let it go until God bless me. You know, some people say, oh, just let it go. No, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to wrestle and I'm going to wrestle and I'm going to wrestle until God turn it around. And the thing is, when you're wrestling, this is what I love about God. God gets you by yourself. So people won't be patting you on the back saying, oh, it's going to be all right. No, I don't need nobody to pat me on my back. You know, I need to wrestle until this thing gets better. I don't need nobody to feel sorry for me. I need to wrestle with this thing until something changes in my life. I don't need no pat on the back talking about, oh, you're going to be all right. No, I ain't going to be all right until this thing turn around. So don't sympathize with me. Don't feel sorry for me. You know, I need a turnaround in my life. I need a loosening in my life. What I need in my life, everybody say, I need a Joseph to show up. Now that's going to be very important, you know, because Dan, you got God's full attention. Naphtali, you've been wrestling with something. You've done something out of the ordinary. Now watch what happens next. You know, we go on over, and verse 14 it says, and Reuben, who is the oldest boy, he went out into the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. Okay. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come into me, for surely I've hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night, and God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. All right. Leah said, God had given me my hire because I've given my maiden to my husband. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story. in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. And she called the name Issachar. Now, it goes on, and Leah bears another son, Zebulun. Verse 21. Everybody say, a new day. It's getting ready to turn around. It says, "And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah." But verse 22 says, "And God remembered Rachel." Now, and God remembered Rachel. Here comes your new day. You know, I want you to understand something. God is not going to forget you. God know exactly where you at. God know exactly what you're going through. God knows exactly your situation. Because the judge does not give a ruling on your situation until he studied it out. The judge just don't get up there, you know, and just, you know, declare something. No, the judge has studied your case. The judge has seen your situation. The judge has pondered, you know, if he do this here, what can happen to you in the years to come? Or if he do that, what can happen to you? The judge has studied your situation out. And when he gives his ruling, he's giving his ruling, you know, informed. It's not happenstance, it's not in haste, it's an informed ruling. You know, the Bible says this here. It says that, "And it rained 40 days and 40 nights, and Noah was shut up in the ark with all those animals, and his family was shut up in the ark, and the rain ceased, you know, and days and weeks went by, and months went by." But you know what the best thing about Noah? It makes a statement. It says, "And the Lord remembered Noah." Oh, God. Hallelujah. It says, "And the Lord remembered Noah." You know, the thing is, God didn't leave Noah in that ark too long. God didn't forget about Noah and his family in that ark, you know, with all those animals, with all the waste of those animals, and all that stinky situation. God didn't leave him in that situation too long. The Bible says, "And God remembered Noah." Just like Rachel. You know, Rachel was wrestling. Rachel was going through. Leah still having children. You know, after the 4, now she done had 2 more sons and a daughter. Oh, my God. And the pressure is on now. When I first called unto you, all she had was 4. She done had 3 more children now. And I ain't had none. You done blessed her with 7 children. And her maid done had children. And I ain't had none. High five your neighbor and say, "God's going to remember you." Now when God remember you, I'm going to tell you something. it's almost going to be like I'm dreaming. Man, is this thing, is it real? So it says that God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her. Now, you got to connect verse 22 with verse 6 of the same chapter. Because it says, and Rachel said, God had judged me and had also heard my voice. God had heard my voice. All right. Well, what was Rachel telling God? Well, she must have been telling him something about her womb. So verse 22 says, God remembered Rachel and God hearkened unto her. Meaning that God listened to her voice. And what happened? It says, and he opened her womb. And he opened her womb. When God remember you, God is not just going to open your womb. But look what he's going to do. Verse 23 says, and she conceived. You're getting ready to get pregnant. Now, and it's not a normal pregnancy. It's not a normal pregnancy. Why you say that, Pastor? Because of what the next part say. It says, she conceived and she bare a son and said, this is what she said when she bare the son, God had taken away my reproach. God had taken away my reproach. Now, I don't know what your reproach is, but listen to what the word reproach means. It means shame. It means dishonor. It means condemnation. So, understanding the meaning of the word reproach, then let's go back and see how Rachel was feeling. Rachel was feeling condemned. God, is there anything that I've done that don't make me normal? You know, she placed herself under condemnation because Leah's having children. I ain't having children. You know, what is it that I can correct in my life? You know, what kind of condemnation is on me? What kind of curse is on me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my womb? It's a shameful thing. You know, you promised our mother Eve, you know, that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. Now, it's a shameful thing for me not to be able to have children. You know, because if I can't have no children, I can't put myself in the lineage of the Messiah. You know, I can't put myself in the lineage, you know, of being one that have hope of having the Messiah. So, you know, I'm ashamed. When I walk out of my house, you know, there's another woman that had 7 children from my husband, and I ain't had none from my husband. You know, so that's a shameful thing. So the thing is, she said when she conceived and bare a son, God has taken away my shame. God has taken away my condemnation. It is lifted off of my life. Some getting ready to lift. Huh? Shame is getting ready to lift. Whatever has made you feel less than, whatever has made you feel like you didn't measure up, huh? God ready to lift that thing. Huh? I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is in your life. All I know what it is in my life. Huh? And I hear the word of the Lord, God's lifting that thing. Huh? God's removing that thing. And he's lifting that thing. See, here what you got to understand. You must understand this here. That, look at the next part. Verse 24. And she called his name Joseph. Whenever Joseph shows up, whenever God starts talking about Joseph to you, when God is talking to Joseph about this congregation, God is talking to Joseph about you in devotion, whenever Joseph shows up, two things happen. Number one, shame is taken away. Your situation is lifted. Condemnation is lifted. And number two, increase is on the horizon. Now, because Joseph's name means he adds. Look what she says. She says, and she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. So whenever Joseph shows up, it don't only mean that your shame is taken away. It means that you're getting ready to be doubly blessed. Because when I see Joseph, I just don't see Joseph. She says, I see another one coming. Huh? So it's a double blessing. It's a double blessing. It's a double fold. It's a double move of God in my life. When Joseph shows up, when God starts talking to you about Joseph, when you're under, you know, any message about Joseph, you better open your eyes and look and say, number one, shame is being lifted. And number two, I got a double blessing coming my way. Because the Lord shall add another son. That means that, you know, I got one, but there's another one on the way. I got my blessing, but there's another blessing on the way. So Joseph means the increase. It means increaser. It means doubly blessed. You know, so God talking to us about Joseph. God talking to us about our branch running over the wall. God talking to us about increase. He's not talking to you just about a normal increase. You know, you're going to get a blessing, but you better open your eyes. Don't rejoice just in that one, because there's another one on the way. There's another one on the heels of the one you just got. That's why we read in Amos, the 9th chapter, it says those blessings are going to come so fast, you know, you ain't going to be able to keep up with them. Come on, y'all. It's God's decree. Blessings upon blessings. You know, there's another one coming. There's an increase on the way, you know, and it's an uncommon increase. It's an uncommon blessing. It's unusual. That's why it's a new day for you. You're not going to even remember those 7 children that Leah had. Because you're going to be wrapped up in Joseph and Benjamin. And see, Benjamin is an uncommon blessing because he's the son of my left hand. Matter of fact, the Benjamites was known as left-handed men, a left-handed tribe. So it means this here. You're a right-handed person. Everything you do is with your right hand. But you're going to do with your left hand just as well as with your right hand. You're going to be just as good with your left hand as you are with your right hand. Meaning that this blessing here is going to be just as good as this blessing here. The bottom line is that they're going to be equal. God is going to give you something unusual. You ain't never been able to do nothing with this hand good. But all of a sudden, you know, this hand is going to be equal with this hand. And the thing is, the Bible says that around David, God gave David a group of men that was skillful with their right hand as well as with their left. They can throw stones with their right hand as well as with their left hand. And they were accurate. So I want you to see, and the Holy Spirit wants you to see, you know, what's coming down. We're like an Elijah, and our head is between our legs, and we're looking down the birth canal. And down the birth canal, you know, here's what God is saying to you. God is saying, whenever Joseph shows up, the increaser has showed up. And something uncommon is getting ready to happen in your life. Now, I want to take you to maybe about 3 or 4 instances. Hopefully we can work through here to show you that. When Joseph shows up. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, Well, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. So watch what happens. We're going to continue on in the same chapter. It says, I'm going to read verse 22 again, starting at verse 22. "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened unto her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God had taken away my reproach." You ain't going to wrestle no more. Your wrestling days are over. It says, "And she called his name Joseph." The increaser has shown up. "And said, the Lord shall add to me another son." Now watch. Now the story gets interesting. What happens when Joseph shows up? All this Joseph talk. When God is talking to us about Joseph. It says, "And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph." Everybody say, Joseph is on the scene. All right. It says that Jacob said unto Laban, "Send me away that I may go into my own place, into my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done to thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord had blessed me for thy sake." Here's the first thing. Because God is talking about Joseph in your life, and Joseph has shown up in your life, all of a sudden, you know, if you own your own business, people that never recognized you before are going to get a revelation about you. If you don't own your own business and you're an employee, all of a sudden, your boss is getting ready to take special note of you. They're getting ready to see something about their business, about their company that they ain't never seen before, and it's because you're there. You're getting ready to be magnified, what I'm trying to tell you, in the eyes of whoever you're serving. They're getting ready to see the special features that you bring to the table. Now, the thing is, all you've done down through the time is done what you're supposed to do. You've worked. You've been there on time. You gave, you know, your best. And it almost seemed like you were unappreciated. It almost seemed like you were looked over. It almost seemed like nobody cared for the special skills that you brought to the table. But that day is over. What's going to happen now is what Laban says. See, when Joseph shows up, when God starts talking about Joseph in your life, all of a sudden, their eyes are going to be open about you. And when their eyes are open about you, all of a sudden, they're going to say, man, I've had a treasure here and they didn't even realize it. I've had something special, you know, working right by me and didn't realize it. And this is what Laban says. Laban said, if I found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience. Why he didn't say that? Jacob been there, you know, over 14 years, 20, at least 20, you know, Jacob has been there, and Laban haven't seen that in Jacob yet. He haven't expressed it, but now he's going to express it. And in expressing it, he's going to do something about it. Huh? Everybody say, when Joseph shows up. Well, look what happens when Joseph shows up. Verse 28, it says, hear what Laban say. And he said, appoint me thy wages. See, up until this point, your employer have told you, this is what I'm going to do for you. Up until this point, your employer has told you, I'm going to give you a cost of living raise. Or I'm going to give you this. Or I'm going to give you this bonus. Or I'm going to give you that bonus. Or I'm not going to do this. Or I'm not going to do that. But everybody say, but it's turning now. How is it turning? It's turning in an uncommon way. When have your employer come to you and asked you, tell me what you're going to work for? No, tell me what you want. See, your employer told you that I have a job here and this job pays $30,000 a year. But now it's turning for you. I just want to prophesy to you and tell you what's coming down the Burke Canal. What's coming down the Burke Canal is this here. Your employer is not coming to you and tell you that I got a job and you're going to make $30,000 a year. Your employer coming to you and tell you, what are you going to work for? What do you want us to pay you? You are so valuable to this company, you know, and I'm just embarrassed that I haven't seen it, you know, up until this point. Appoint me your wages. As a matter of fact, I'm just opening the checkbook. Write your own check. Now, somebody going to catch this and somebody going to see this and they're going to shout, me, Lord. You know, when have your employer ever came to you and say, I'm just opening my checkbook. Write your own check. Did you not know? I've seen it happen two times, you know, on the professional level, you know, in the profession of entertainment, you know, basketball. All of you all, you know, on the sound of my voice, remember Michael Jordan. Do y'all remember how much he used to make a year? Probably not. But the last few years, you know, that Michael Jordan played. Did you not know that the owner opened his checkbook and said, appoint your wages? And for the last few years that Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls, I think he made somewhere in the neighborhood of about $35 million a year. Now, they were paying him not for what he was going to do for the team. They were paying him for what he had done for the team. Come on. I want to show you what God is saying about you. Your employer haven't seen this until now, and they're ready to open their checkbook and say, write your own check. I'm ready to pay you for not what you're going to do, but what you've already done for us. Laban said, I have learned by experience that God has blessed me because of you. Now I'm opening my checkbook. Pay yourself. Write your own check. I've seen it with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant is hurt right now, but Kobe just signed the contract. Do y'all know how much he signed for? For a two-year contract. About $48 to $50 million for 2 years. He hurt. He's sitting out. But that don't stop the money from coming in. And they're not paying Kobe Bryant for what he's going to do because the Lakers are trash. They're garbage right now. So they're not paying Kobe for what he's going to do or where he's going to take the Lakers. They're paying Kobe for what he's already done. So God, if the worldly leaders, if the natural leaders of this world can do it, God said, I'm getting ready to do that for you. Now, I know what y'all saying. Y'all saying, well, Pastor, that's just unbelievable. Pastor, that's just uncommon. Pastor, I just don't see my owner or my employer doing that. You might not see, you know, and the thing is, now, you that are business owners, it's going to happen in another way. And here's how it's going to happen for business owners. I don't want nobody else to do this but you. Just tell me what you want and just go ahead and do it. I'm not getting nobody else to bid it. I'm not getting nobody else to do it. I just want you to do it. That's what I'm saying. Yes, Lord. I don't know about you, but I done heard, amen, the voice of the Lord. Not only have I heard the voice of the Lord in my inner ear and in my heart, when I went to the Word of God, He confirmed it in His Word, what He said to me in my heart. That when Joseph shows up, somebody around you is getting ready to open their checkbook and say, write your own check. And not only write your own check, when they look at what you wrote, look what the next part. I will give it. Come on, I'm saying, this is what they said. When they see what you wrote, I will give it. There is no debate. There is no negotiation. You know, there's nothing like that. All they say is, I will give it. I'm going to do that. You deserve that. I will give it. Somebody say, when Joseph shows up, the increaser has shown up. Now, I want to tell you this here before I go to the next part. That is uncommon. That is out of the ordinary. And the bottom line is, you know, what God has spoken to us prior to this year and what God has said to us, that creates a new day in our life. There has never been a day, you know, like this before, and there ain't never going to be a day like it afterwards. This is just something that's uncommon. This is just something that's getting ready to transpire in our life because God is talking about Joseph to us. God is saying, you know, Joseph, you are a fruitful bough. Your branches run over the wall. Hallelujah. He goes on to say in that passage, he says that your bow, although the archers shot at you, although the archers, you know, shot their arrows of hatred at you, your bow have stood strong because the Lord God Almighty was with you. You remember the story in Genesis 37. It says that, you know, that Jacob dwelt in the land of his fathers, and Joseph was about 17 years old, and he brought, you know, his father back the report, you know, the bad report about his brethren. And it says, this is what it says, and Jacob loved Joseph more than all his other brethren. Let me say it again. And Jacob loved Joseph more. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle a driving or a rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. As Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Then the other brethren, and made him something that distinguished him from everybody else. The Father gave him an article, or gave him something that when Joseph put that on, it made him stand out from everybody else. I hear the Spirit of God saying something. That because it's the year of favor, that's called favor. Yeah. That God is ready to give you something that's going to make you, that's going to distinguish you from everybody else. And according to, I think it's Exodus 33, it says that I think it's in the NIV, he says that you are a distinguished people. You are distinguished. God is getting ready to place something on your life, place something in your life that will distinguish you from everybody else. How can he do it? You say, you got a whole lot of Josephs around here. So God's got to do a lot of distinguished things in a lot of your lives, but you're going to stand out in the midst of where you are. Now, I hear what some of y'all saying. You're saying, "But Pastor, how is he going to do it?" I don't know how he's going to do it. All I know is he's going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it for me. I don't know how you're going to do it for you. All I heard God say, "I'm going to do it." Because that part says, "I will give it." That's all he said. He said, "Appoint unto me your wages." And all he said, "I will give it." Now, I want to tell you something. Don't cut yourself short. I want to talk to you. I'm going to tell you, you're fortunate to be in this service this morning. You're fortunate to hear what God is saying to you this morning. And I want to say to you, don't do like the brothers of Joseph. Don't do like Reuben and Simeon and Levi. Don't do like Issachar and Judah. Don't look. The Joseph is right here, and they sold him. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Wasn't that what? 20 pieces of silver? The price of a slave. You got the best thing. You got the best thing, you know, that ever could happen in your life. And you treat it as something that's common. You despise it and hate it, and you sell it off. Don't you sell the blessing of the Lord off. Don't you be like Esau. As a matter of fact, wasn't it Jude that said, you know, don't go in the way of Esau. What did he do? He sold his birthright. Huh? God has given you something. Don't you sell it off. Don't you get rid of it. Recognize it, you know, and embrace it. Because if you sell it off, it's going to come up again. It's going to come up again. But you ain't going to recognize it. The Bible said they sold Joseph off. And then years later, when he raised up in Egypt, you know, they had to go right back to him, to what they sold off. And they bowed before him. And the Bible said they didn't recognize him. Huh? They didn't recognize it. I want you to, you got to hold on to what God has given you right now. God has given you a word. And when Joseph shows up, something uncommon is getting ready to take place in your life. Oh, it's a new day. I can guarantee you it's a new day. I can guarantee you out the word of God, it's a new day. I can guarantee you out the word, something uncommon is getting ready to happen in your life. When Joseph shows up, shame is gone, the increase has set in. Now the Bible says, you know, again, I told you there's a scripture I want you to continue to let go round and round in your mind. And that scripture is what? Psalms 118 verse what? This is the Lord's and it's. As a matter of fact, you're getting ready to remember that scripture. Because of what's released and what's happening, what's going to happen in your life. Is that, man, this is the Lord's doing. That's all Rachel could say. Rachel could say, I done tried. Me and Jacob done tried. We done tried. And then the Bible says, and the Lord remembered Rachel and opened her womb. This wasn't Jacob's doing. This wasn't Rachel's doing. This was the Lord's doing. And when the Lord do it, it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. So it's a new day. It's a new day, you know, and I just don't want to talk to you, you know, about your prosperity and your wealth. It's going to be a new day in your health. Huh? It's going to be a new day in your walk with God. Why? Because of what we said on the other night. God has squared off the relationship. He made the relationship right between you and him, between me and him. Huh? It's a new day. It's a fresh start. Come on, God ain't caring about what you did yesterday. God ain't caring about what you and Jacob did, you know, all those years. You know, when God steps in, you know, because he's giving you his undivided attention and he's judging your situation, you know, the bottom line is this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in my sight. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. When God turned your captivity, you're going to be like those that dream. Oh, my God, it's a new day for you. And when I say a new day is something that's uncommon. It's something, you know, not only is he giving you the blessing that you asked for, there's another one behind it. Huh? And the Lord shall add another son. There's another one behind it. There's another one behind it. And the bottom line, it ain't just so you can brag. It ain't just, you know, this thing is, it's coming because God has purpose for it. God has purpose with it. You know, now, let me show you another thing. When Joseph shows up, what happens? The Bible says, let me give you instance number two. Bible says that there's a man down in Egypt. You know, he's head of Pharaoh's executioners. And, you know, he pretty good. He's doing pretty good. He's doing all right. Let me put it that way. Everybody say he's doing all right. But he's bogged himself down in the everyday details of his ranch, of his job. You know, he's got to oversee this and he's got to oversee that. All right. One day he goes to an auction, Ma. There's some Midianites that have come up from the land of Canaan and they got Joseph with them because his brother and the sold him off. Now, if I was those Midianites, if I realized what I had, I wouldn't sell him. Because Joseph right now is like the Ark of the Covenant. It says that when the Ark rested at Obed-Edom's house, it says, and God blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Because the Ark was there. And everything that pertained to Obed-Edom was blessed. So the Midianites is carrying the Joseph down into Egypt. And Potiphar won the bidding right. And now Joseph shows up at Potiphar's house. Can I show you what happens? Look in Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter number 39. Something happens when Joseph shows up. A new day. How can I take my ranch to another level? Potiphar was a businessman. How can things get better on my estate? All you need is for Joseph to show up. So here's what happened. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And it says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Now, verse 5 is the verse you need to underline and highlight, because this would happen when Joseph shows up. And it came to pass, from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. What did the Lord do? He blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. What did God do? He blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Do you realize what is happening here? That God blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Man, the Egyptian looked around and said, man, my children don't get sick no more. Why? Joseph showed up. Man, ain't no, my children making A's and A pluses. They ain't making C's no more. Joseph showed up. Bible says in Psalm 91, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? Because Joseph showed up. It says, from the time that he made him overseer. What does overseer mean? The manager? Huh? The see over, the be in charge? From that time that Joseph showed up, from the time that Potiphar relinquished the authority and just stepped back and let Joseph handle everything, it says from that time, it says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And look at this next part. You need to underline this here. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. That sounds like Deuteronomy 27 blessing. I'm going to bless you in the house and I'm going to bless you in the field. You know, so the Bible, anything that you own, when Joseph shows up, is blessed. So I don't think God is just saying something to us. I believe God is saying, you know, you got to realize the extraordinariness of this day. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, "May the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed." And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. As Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. That because I'm talking to you about Joseph, and I'm likening you unto Joseph, that Joseph is a fruitful bough. He's a fruitful bough. What do you mean he's a fruitful bough? Meaning that when I accept the likening of Joseph to my life, my day changes. Something extraordinary happens. Something uncommon's happened. Now, I'm going to show you this next one, that some of you have some uncommon places. But when Joseph shows up, even the uncommon places get blessed. Watch this one. As you continue to read, it says in verse 20. It says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison, in the place of bondage." In the place of bondage, that uncommon place, when Joseph shows up there, something liberating is going to happen. I'm going to say it again. In the place of bondage. Now, I think this is how the Holy Spirit would relate this. Okay, all have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. All of us are saved. But although all of us are saved, most of us have that one area of bondage. I'm not going to talk about area 2 or 3 or 4. I'm going to talk about area 1. Because every one of us can identify with area 1. And if we allow Joseph, Mom, in the area 1, something liberating takes place. That in the place of bondage, the Bible says he was put in prison where the king's prisoners were bound. See, you can't bind a free man. You can put him in prison, but that don't mean he's bound. And they put that which is free, you know, in a place of bondage. And what happened? He liberated everything that was in bondage. He gave direction to their lives. He ministered to them on a daily basis. So much so, it says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Huh? You can't put Joseph somewhere and the Lord not be with him. Huh? Wherever Joseph is, the Lord is there. And it says when they put Joseph there and the Lord was with him, the Lord showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison done what? He let Joseph be manager. He let Joseph manage his life. See, the thing is, when the Lord remembered Rachel, the Bible says she conceived and bare a son, called his name Joseph, and said, and the Lord shall add another one. What she did, she relinquished her life to Joseph. She relinquished her life to Joseph. And it says this here in verse 22. And so the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Anything that went down in prison, he did it. Anything that happened in the jailhouse, he did it. And the scripture says, so the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. The Lord made it to prosper. Everybody say, when Joseph shows up, it's a new day. I got one more thing, and we'll finish, you know, this session with this last one. We found out when Joseph shows up in the life of Rachel, all of a sudden, you know, the life has changed. Their family structure has changed. When Joseph shows up in the life of Jacob, all of a sudden a checkbook is open and he's able to write his own check. And there was no debating, there was no bargaining, there was no bidding. You know, all the owner said, I'll give it. We find out when Joseph shows up at a man's house by the name of Potiphar, all of a sudden his ranch, his estate, goes to another level. We find out when Joseph shows up in uncommon places, all of a sudden that which is bound becomes liberated. Now we're going to find out when Joseph shows up, there's several things that happen in the life of a kingdom, in the life of a nation, in the life of a family. All of a sudden, years are added to your life. When you read about the kings of Egypt or any kings, even the kings of Israel in the book of Kings and in Chronicles, you will notice there was a lot of assassination going on.
Yeah.
Really, you know, and that was, and if even you, if you took literature in high school, you know, you found out about the assassination, you know, of kings, or those that were in authority. Why? Because somebody else wanted to be in authority. When Joseph shows up, we read the book of Esther, and how Esther married King Xerxes, right? You know, did you not know that after the book of Esther, King Xerxes was assassinated? He was assassinated, because that's what happened. Somebody else wanted to be in power. You know, how do I get in power? I assassinate the one that's in power. Even Saul's sons, when he took over, they wanted to gain some brownie points with David, so they assassinated Saul's son. Took his head to David. David killed him. You don't assassinate the king. You don't touch that which is in authority. Well, here, you know, the king is going along, and that's why he's got to have guards around him. That's why he's got to have security around him, because he's always on the firing line when somebody wants to assassinate him and knock him off. But when Joseph shows up in the king's life, Joseph says, number one, this is why the king was so impressed with him. You know, you're going to live 14 more years. 14 more years were added to his life. One short of Hezekiah. Because he said, first 7 years, God's going to give you plenty. Next 7 years, you know, if you don't put up, the worst years are going to eat up the years of plenty. So I think the king was thinking in his mind, man, this man come along and told me I'm going to be here for the next 14 years. That's a blessing. So when Joseph show up, everybody say, years are added.
Years added.
Now, I want you to understand something. Not just any kind of years are added. You're going to have enough for all the years that are added in your life. Oh, come on. Because when Joseph shows up, he's not going to only, you know, not only years are going to be added to your life, but the wisdom on how to manage the plenty is going to come along with Joseph. So you're going to have enough to last you through all the years that is added to your life. As a matter of fact, what I'm trying to tell you, you're not going to run out. How about your neighbor say, I ain't going to run out. You're not going to run out. You're not going to be able to spend it all. You're not going to be able to eat it all up. So, hear what it says as we conclude. Chapter number 41. It says, now, you must understand Pharaoh. Look what it says in verse in chapter number 41. It says it came to pass, verse 1, at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. So Pharaoh's dreaming, right? Now, if you would look at verse number 8, it came to pass in the morning, this is after he got finished dreaming, it says that his spirit was troubled. His spirit was troubled. He was wrestling with something. He was doing just what Rachel did. He was wrestling with something. I'm wrestling with this dream. I know God is speaking to me, you know, but I'm wrestling. I'm wrestling because it don't make sense. It don't make sense on what I just saw in my dream. So I'm wrestling with what I saw. And the scripture says, so he sent, he did just what Rachel did. He did what he could do. He acted out of the flesh. He called for magicians. He called for wise men. He called for soothsayers. He called for astrologers, because that's all he had. He had no prophets. So he called for what he had. He did what he could do. He called for them and told them, this is what I dream. Interpret my dream. But you know what? He was still wrestling, because they couldn't interpret what he saw. They didn't understand what he was seeing. It take a Joseph to understand what you saw. Come on, y'all. But Joseph was in prison. Joseph was in prison liberating captives. Come on, y'all. That's where Joseph was. And the thing is, one of the captives that was in prison who had got liberated, he had to tell Pharaoh, there's a young man down in prison that's liberating captives. And he liberated me by interpreting my dream. Send for him. I believe he can liberate you and get you out of that trouble you're in. So the Bible says what Pharaoh do, he sends for Joseph, who is a liberator of captives. And that's what the Lord, that's what the Bible says to us, that the Lord has anointed us to do what? Set captives free. Amen. We're to liberate those that are in captivity. Yeah. But we can't do it except that Joseph show up. So Pharaoh sends he releases Joseph. I am not. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, "May the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed." And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread, it's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. As Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Today, just for a little while, there's just a couple things I want to go over with you today. And again, I want to welcome you. I want to welcome your family. And be strong this year, as we go into 2014. God has made some promises to us. Support the house of God. I did something, and I don't see Charles today, but we're getting ready to put together some things. We've already shared it with the men's ministry. How many hours are there in a week? There's 24 hours in a day, right? Am I right? I think I'm right. All right. So when you multiply 24 times 7, how many hours are there in a week? 168 hours. Now, you remember the story? There's a story in the gospel that Jesus, right before he was betrayed, he went away and he prayed, but his disciples was there. And when he prayed, the Bible says that he was in great anguish. And he came back to his disciples, and what were they doing?
Sleeping.
They were asleep. Do y'all remember what Jesus said to his disciples? Can you not stay awake or pray with me for 1 hour? And then he went back and he prayed again. And he come back. And they will sleep again. And that's when Jesus made a statement. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then he went back and he prayed again. And the Bible says when he prayed this time, it was like great drops of blood, dripped from him like sweat. And then he went back to where the disciples was, and what they were asleep again. And you know what he said? He said, sleep on. But he asked them a question at first, and he says, can you not watch with me for 1 hour? See, God gives us 168 hours in a week. And we need to make a resolution. This is what we do in the government. We make a resolution that I'm going to give God at least one good hour in the week where I can learn something, where I can be taught something, that I can be effective with my family, be effective with co-workers, be effective in society. Now, you know that 1 hour is not even tithe. If God was to ask us to tithe our time like we tithe our finances, how many hours in a week would we have to give the Lord? 16.8 hours, right around 17 hours. Isn't that something? So if God made it a mandate that we tithe our time, we would have to tithe about 16 hours. That's 2 full working days. We would have to tithe unto the Lord. And the thing is, I find people that can't give him 1 hour. They can't come to the house of the Lord and give him 1 hour. Now, now I'm rambling now, but I'm saying some things. You would say, because people would say, Mama, they say, well, we don't really need the house of the Lord to be saved. Well, that's why we're going back to the Bible. Because the Bible says this here. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. They say, well, Pastor, you always quote that one scripture. Well, let me give you another one. The Bible said this about Jesus. It says that on the Sabbath, that was the day of worship. It says, as his custom was, he went into the house of the Lord. So listen to what Jesus did. Jesus made his way to church when worship service was going on. And it says this here, that was his custom. What does custom mean? That was his way of life. That's the way he directed his life. Now, how many want to be like Jesus? Now, we want to be like Jesus. The thing is, we'll make our way to the house of the Lord, you know, and give him that one good hour. And the thing is, we try to make it available to you that we're going to give you something that you, when you leave away from here, you're going to have something to live by. Okay, so let's go real quick to the word of the Lord in the book of Genesis, chapter number 30, I think it is. Now, I can't go through all the stuff I went through in the early service at 8 o'clock. You know, you really want some meat. Really want, you know, I give you meat all the time. You're going to get some meat here. But if you get to the 8 o'clock services where I have time to break it down and, you know, we just, you know, take our time. See, because I got another service right after this service. You know, I drive about 45 minutes away to Picayune. So I got to get there. So, but here in the 30th chapter, God spoke to us and he says, it's a new day. Tell your neighbor, it's a new day. Come on, tell him again, it's a new day. It's not about new resolutions, but it's a new day. And it's a new day because this is something that the Lord is going to do. This is something that God is doing. And because God is doing it, it's marvelous in our sight. It's a new day. All right, in chapter number 30, That's right. That's where we at, right? Elder Taylor, chapter 30. All right. Now, the Bible tells us it says in verse number 1, it says, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Now, here's a situation that's set up here. Rachel is the wife of Jacob, but she is not the only wife of Jacob. Now, you know, in our culture today, you know, I couldn't have Tina. Ann Zenith. I couldn't have two wives. Like Bob, you laugh and you can't have Sheila. And Unique. All right. And I'm there, you laugh and you can't have Lolita and Yashinzi, okay? Because that's not our culture. And really it's not scripture either. Because when you go to the scripture, the Bible tells us, this is why it says, back to the Bible, it says that Adam had Eve. And it said, and listen to the scripture, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto who? His wife, not wives, but his wife. And the two shall be one. Huh? So that's the way it was originally set up. Now, I don't know what they're doing today, okay? But that's the way it was originally set up. That's the original plan of God. If you want to know the original plan of God, go back to Genesis chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. And you'll get the original plan of God. This is the way God intended for it to be. All right? But somehow in there, the culture was changed. And it was their culture. And matter of fact, when Jacob got down to his uncle Laban's house, Laban wanted to put him to work, and Laban says, well, what shall I pay you? And Jacob says, well, I'll work for her. I mean, he loved Rachel. He saw Rachel and he fell in love with her. The girl must have been some kind of girl. And he says, I'll work 7 years for her. Come on, brothers, and shout. Yeah. This brother saw this woman and fell in love with her and said, I will work 7 years for her. Just think about how much you make a year. This woman meant so much to you. You said, I'll put in 7 years. You ain't got to pay me no money. Just after 7 years, just give me her. Selah, think on those things. Now, y'all know society is wrong now. Let me leave the brothers alone. I'm getting ready to get on the brothers. Because brothers don't even want to work. But they won't make babies. Want to lay up and mess with that young lady, mess with that woman. You know that's against the principle. Young ladies, y'all need to look. You need to look in the scripture. If this man willing to work 7 years for a woman, and he don't even want to pay the rent, he don't even want to go to work. Now, watch this. It says, and after 7 years, Jacob said, look, Laban, I done finished my 7 years. Give my wife. So they had the wedding ceremony, and he gave him the woman. And in the morning, when Jacob woke up, because they didn't have electricity like us, so it was dark in that tent. And he woke up the next morning and put his glasses on. He looked, and oh my God, he went back to Laban. He said, "Well, this ain't the one I work for." This woman got her eyes, something wrong with her eyes. Rachel, ain't nothing wrong with Rachel's eyes. You can't fool me. She was tender-eyed, the Bible says. And Laban said, well, this is our custom, that we give the oldest away first. And he said, but work another 7 years, and then I give you Rachel. And the Bible said, Mom, he worked those other 7 years, and it was like nothing. So he actually worked 14 years for Rachel. And the Bible said he loved Rachel. But he had two wives. He had Rachel, and he had her older sister, Leah. And the scripture says when God saw that Leah was loved less than Rachel, God opened her womb. And she's... I am not All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, "May the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed." And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle a driving or a rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread, it's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. As Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. And he still was in love with Rachel. Then she had another one. Then she had another one. And then the fourth one, she had a Judah. She had four sons. And then she forgot all about Jacob. She said, "I'm going to just praise the Lord. Now I ain't worried about Jacob no more." And the Bible says, now you had two wives. And, they were all doing the same thing, all three of them. And but Rachel couldn't have no children. She had no children. And that's the one Jacob was madly in love with. And in chapter 30, verse 1, we come to this here. It says, Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children. So Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children or else I'll die." So Rachel is saying, this is a life and death situation. Leah is having the children, and I want to say something to you. It was important in those days for married women to have children, because there was a promise through Eve that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. So every woman that was married, they wanted to have a child because it might be their child that was the Messiah. Rachel at this time, she didn't have no children. So she goes to Jacob and she's upset at Jacob. "Jacob, we can't, what's wrong? Give me a child. My life depends on this here." There's a lot of shame in my life. I feel less than a woman. You know, I feel disgraced. I feel dishonored because I can't have a child by you. And I'm going to say again, no, they're married. I want to maybe bring that in. So it says this here. Look at verse 2. It says, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. There was a domestic disturbance. Rachel mad because she can't have no children, and Jacob mad because he can't give her what she wants. Come on. So he got angry, and his anger was kindled at Rachel. And he said, you know, am I God? I mean, look, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not God. All I can do is plant the seed. I can't give the increase. See, the Bible says in Corinthians chapter 3, it says, Paul says that, you know, I plant, Apollos water, but God give the increase. I mean, we can't make God do this here. So I'm not in God's stead, Jacob tells Rachel. Come on. He says, who had withheld thee? Who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? I'm not the one that's stopping you from being fruitful. God's doing that. So look what happens in verse 3. It says, and she said, see, because the girl is desperate. The woman is desperate, and when we have desperate times, we do desperate things. Come on, you know that. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm just human. You know, as a human, you know, if you get in a desperate situation, you do desperate things. The Bible even says this in the book of Proverbs. It says that, you know, when a man is in the tight, you know, he is still. And when he's still, you know, it's sweet to him. But that's when the Bible comes back and says, but when the thief be found. It did. It said make him pay seven times. Seven times more. So Rachel is in a tight, and here's what she do. It says, behold, she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees that I may also have children by her. So look what Rachel is doing. Rachel is saying, okay, since God won't give me children, here, take my maid and go in and have, you know, relationship with her, and she going to have a child for me. So desperate measures did this here. She gave her husband to another woman. I mean, that ain't the first time we saw that in the scripture, you know, with Abraham and Sarah. God made Abraham a promise at 75 years old and Sarah was 65 years old that they would have a child. At 90 years old, Abraham and Sarah being 89, they still hadn't had a child. Sarah tells Abraham, go into my maid Hannah. Hagar, and when you go into Hagar, you know she'll bear a child for me. See, they were desperate, but even in having, when Hagar had the child, God said, "That ain't the one I promised you." You know, the one I promised you ain't gonna come till 10 more years later. So it says, when Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 98, it says, God visited them, and it says, and Abraham being 100 years old, he didn't consider his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. But the Bible says that he was strong in faith, and he giving God the glory, believing that God was able to do what he said. They had a son, he being 100 and Sarah being 99 years old. What I'm saying is that desperate times, you know, produces desperate things. So she gave. You know, her maid to her husband. Even in the times of Hannah, y'all remember when Hannah, Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah had children, Hannah had no children. And the scripture says, you know, that what Hannah did, you know, they went up to the feast and Hannah couldn't eat. Elkanah said, girl, I'm better than you than what? Seven, ten sons. I'm better than you than them. Hannah said, that don't matter. You know, I have an issue in my life. And the issue is that when we get finished eating all this food, we get finished celebrating and all of this here, Peninnah's going home to all her children and I don't have none. So I'm grieved. I'm a woman who's troubled in spirit. And the Bible says she got up from the table and went to the house of God. See, everybody say the church. And she knelt down in the church, Rabbi. And she prayed. Now, she prayed like this here. There wasn't nothing coming out of her mouth, but she was praying in her heart. And she didn't notice the priest was sitting back there. And she got up from praying. Now, while she was praying, again, she ain't said nothing out of her mouth, just in her heart. And this was her prayer. Listen to her prayer. Because desperate times require what? Desperate measures. And she said this in her heart. Lord, listen, if you give me a man child, give me a son, I don't want to enjoy him. I'm going to give him back to you. Everybody say, that's desperate. Because usually if you want a child, you want a child to enjoy for yourself. But she was so desperate. She said, listen, Penina's having all these children. I ain't having no child. You know, and the thing is, she's doing it with my husband, and I'm doing it with my husband. And she the one having the children, and I ain't having none. God, I'm desperate right now. Give me a child just to have a child, and I'm going to give him back to you. And she made a vow. And when she got up, the priest said, you know, because the way she was praying, the priest said, girl, leave that wine alone. Drinking that wine, coming in the house of the Lord. She said, sir, you know, I ain't been drinking. I ain't full of wine. I'm just a woman who grieved in spirit. And you know what the priest said? See, this is why it's good to come to the house of the Lord. But all the priest said, you know, go and be blessed. Now, all them years that they've been trying to have children, and all it took was the priest to say, go and the Lord bless you. And the Bible said they went away and she conceived and had a child. See, you've been trying to do it your way all this time. And all it took was one word from the Lord. A spoken word. Just one spoken word. And the thing is, you wouldn't have been beating your head against the wall. You wouldn't have been having all those domestic disputes. You wouldn't have been having all that trouble if you'd have just come to the house of the Lord and got one spoken word. See, when you get one word from the Lord, it'll create a new day in your life. So the Bible says she gives her husband to, you know, this woman. And look what happens in verse 4. It says, and she gave her builder, her handmaid to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And verse 5, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And it says in verse 6, and Rachel said, God had judged me and had also heard my voice and had given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to that verse. Go back. It says, Rachel said, God had judged me and had also heard my voice. Now, we broke this down this morning into two things. Anybody ever had to go to court? You got to be ashamed. I had to go to court too before. All right. You know, now, when you went to court, who was the main person you went to see?
The judge.
Everybody say it again, the judge. Now, let me ask you something. If you ever went to court and you had to go see the judge, when you got up there to see the judge, was the judge handling your case or was he handling somebody else's case? So you're telling me that the judge gave his undivided attention to your case, what was before him. That's important, what we're saying. You got to catch this. Because when Rachel says, watch again, when Rachel says, God had judged me. See, before you went to court, all you had was a court date. Let me say it again. If you got in trouble, you got a ticket, or you did something wrong, you know, they set what they called a court date for you. So the thing is, you were waiting to see the judge. But when Rachel said that God has judged me, it meant that you didn't no longer have a court day. You was in front of the judge. He was giving his undivided attention to your situation. I'm going to tell you today, it's a new day because right now, you know, you're not no longer waiting for the court. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, what's that under your arm? And the priest said, this is bread. It's holy bread. David said, I have some of that. Then the next thing David asked, do you have any weapons here? And the priest tells him, nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah. Well, David said, I would have that sword also. So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with.